From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Bloch.
And I'm Michelle Norris, with a story that might make you appreciate your job just a little bit more. Thousands of miles of rivers in the United States are unsafe for swimming due to fecal contamination. The Environmental Protection Agency says tests routinely show that the water in these rivers is teeming with bacteria linked to waste from humans, cattle, dogs, cats, even wild birds. On many rivers, nobody knows which animals produce the biggest share of this pollution. That mystery has stunted efforts to clean things up. But now a new group called poop detectives have arrived on the scene. They're scientists who use police methods to track down animal polluters. NPR's John Nilsen has more.
Charles Hagedorn, a tall man with bad knees and a beard that makes him look like a Civil War reenactor, makes his living working in the guts of urban watersheds. Case in point, this dark, wet, smelly, scary-looking tunnel under Benning Road on the eastern edge of Washington, D.C.
We certainly wind up in some of the less scenic environments than what you'd normally look for as a tourist.
Dark, thick water rich with fecal bacteria oozes through the bottom of this channel and into the notoriously filthy Anacostia River. But where is all of the waste in this water coming from? Hagedorn, an environmental microbiologist from Virginia Tech, says it could be coming from people or pets or any number of other so-called fecal suspects.
And here are some sources coming our way to check us out, to see if we've got anything to throw to them.
Never heard anybody refer to geese as a fecal source before.
Well, we look at everything in the environment as a fecal source, and each adult Canada goose produces in a 24-hour period about as much fecal matter as one adult human being, and so they can be a very major source of the contamination.
Until recently, scientists didn't know how to trace fecal bacteria back to particular kinds of animals, such as geese. Now, thanks to the genetic revolution, Hagedorn says they can.
With methodology borrowed from forensics, we're now able to tell if the fecal bacteria that we get out of the water are from human sources, livestock, wildlife, birds, dogs, what have you.
Hagedorn treats polluted waterways like crime scenes. First, he checks the banks for animal tracks and poop. Then he takes a lot of water samples. Then he drives all of it down to his lab at Virginia Tech, where he pulls so-called DNA fingerprints out of the bacteria. After that, like any good crime scene investigator, he starts comparing these bacterial fingerprints with thousands of others he's already collected and identified.
And that's our database. It's similar to the felon database that's used in forensics.
A match means he's found his polluter. Now, this young science isn't perfect yet. Hagedorn admits that. Sometimes, for example, the tests get it wrong. Nevertheless, interest in this work is building quickly in towns and cities across the country. One of the reasons why is that this kind of information prevents towns and cities from wasting their money solving the wrong pollution problems. Jeff Scott, a pollution expert with the National Ocean Service, says he knows of one coastal community that was about to spend millions to keep human waste out of its water.
When we found out it might be dogs and cats. And so if we had made that decision without using these tools, we could have basically cost the public a lot of money.
In other words, it turns out all this town needed to keep its water clean was an ad campaign and a bunch of extra pooper scoopers. Back on the Anacostia River in Washington, D.C., however, the biggest single source of bacterial contamination is obvious: people. Hagedorn says he has no doubt of that. He's also certain that solving this problem will mean spending billions on new sewer pipes and storm drains. But in the tunnel on Benning Road, this mystery turned out to have a different ending. Here, the poop detectives' tests revealed that the major sources of pollution were not only Canada geese, but raccoons and other wild animals living in nearby woodlands. And in a way, he says, this is wonderful news.
Wildlife has made a comeback. They will if you give them a green zone like this. Of course, wildlife and birds all represent fecal sources as well. And so it's, in that respect, it's kind of a numbers game.
Hagedorn's findings could eventually force an awkward choice on the keepers of this part of the Anacostia River. Should they celebrate the comeback of the wild birds and animals, or should they consider finding ways to drive some of them off in an effort to make the local waters swimmable? John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.